Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bang and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts, the hottest podcast in the streets. Visit the new website today, www.bigfactspod.com.
Live for First Class Sounds, you know who it is. DJ Scream is here. Big Bank is here. Baby Jade is here. It's time for Big Facts. And we got a special guest in the building by heavy request. It's the Wall Street Trapper. That's pulling up on Big Facts. Yes. What's up? What's up? What's up, my brother?
What's good, family? What's good, family?
Everything good with you?
Man, it's lovely, man. I feel good, man.
Now, you've been making a lot of moves.
Yeah.
You've been getting a lot of money.
Come on, now.
Right? You know what I mean? Where we want to start this conversation is... Who were you before you were the Wall Street Trapper? Let's get into the essence of your journey a little bit. Like, before you were the Wall Street Trapper, who were you?
So, just all my homies used to just call me Free. You know what I'm saying? Just born and raised in New Orleans.
Where'd that come from?
My homies used to call me Freezer.
Freezer?
Uh-huh.
And Free is short for Freezer?
Uh-huh.
Street name.
Yep. So, just born and raised in New Orleans. Saw my moms get shot when I was kind of like 9. So that was kind of my introduction to the game. My mom was hustling, you know, just in the street and fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She lived, though, mm-hmm. and then she got shot again.
Mm-hmm.
Then she went to prison for attempt murder, and she beat that charge. Then she went to prison for the narcs kicking her door in. So I lived with my grandmother for a little while. my grandmother passed, man, so I went through a period where I was just homeless. Around like 13, 14, really just homeless, and I just started hustling, man. Like, that's what I knew. Like, my grandmother was an entrepreneur, mom was in the street, so I just used both of those. You know, you just be in survival mode, man. Like, it ain't really no different. Like, New Orleans is one of those places where poverty is heavy, especially during that 93, 94, 95 area, murder capital era. Like, it was heavy. So, just learned how to hustle. Wound up going to prison for attempt murder on robbery, doing a 10-year bid. That's when I got introduced to, like, financial literacy. I'm in a cell with this dude, white guy, and he was just like, I guess that was his first time seeing, like, that many black people at one time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and really and truly, like you think that should be normal, but he was like, man, y'all playing the wrong game, man. Like, and like at first that it like caught me off guard. Yeah. I was like, what? Like, cause all we know is the game. That's all we know. You know what I'm saying? I done stopped going to school at 16. Like, all I know is the game. And so I was just like, well, if it's the wrong game, then why the hell you ain't here with me? Like, what game you playing?
Right.
Evidently, you playing the same game I'm playing. But he was like, nah. He was like, so what you in here for? So, like, in New Orleans, so if you have a red band, like, your band tell you what you in jail for. So, mm-hmm. I had a red band, which means attempt murder.
Like
murder,
a violent robbery, crime.
Yeah, kidnapping. So, like, if you got an orange band, that means you on a drug charge, unless it's you got $1 million bond. So, then you'll get a red band. Or if you're in the feds, you'll get a red and white band. So, he had a red and white band. So, kind of like when you're in the state jail, if you're looking at somebody with a red and white band, you kind of be like, damn, like, he knows some shit I don't know. Like, yeah. Federal shit, like a hierarchy or some shit.
You know that means you're important.
Yeah, like, damn, yeah. Like, what you know? So, I saw the band. So, he was just like, you in here for a temporary on rob, you looking at 0 to 99. He was like, I'm in here for embezzlement. He embezzled $2.8 million, paid $800,000 restitution, kept $2 million, did 18 months.
They let him keep the $2 million?
You kept it. That's just how it works on a point system and the guy system.
And the scale, yeah.
In the past. So that kind of like took my head like, damn, like, well, let me learn how to play that game. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. let me play that because I don't need to be. I'm hustling backwards if that's what you got going on. You know what I'm saying? So during that time period, we was in a hole for like maybe 45 days together. And so he just started talking to me about financial literacy, like telling me how like you hustling, you selling dope, you robbing, you jacking. Like, that shit is pennies. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then in my mind, I'm like, damn, I'm 16. I ain't never really truly met a successful hustler. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all of us gonna end up to the same fate. Like, you gonna go to jail. You gonna get knocked. Like, you accept that. You just trying to see how long you can get a run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was like, damn, that's crazy. And in my mind, I started telling myself, like, damn, if he do 18 months, shit, he could go back, do that shit again. Come back, they might give him 8 years, but he leave with $5 million this time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like, I'm playing a numbers game in my head. Like, I'm just playing survival, but I'm playing survival on the next level. Like, how can I get out the streets? So he was just like, man, like, and wealthy people do like three things with their money, man. They stop trading time for money, they start making their money work for them, and they start giving value to people. I ain't learned the value to people part till later on in the game, but I had never heard that shit before. Like, that shit was like Spanish to me. And so he started telling me that, you know, wealthy people invest in stocks because it's the easiest thing to do with your money, invest in other businesses, right? The hardest thing to do is build a $1 billion business. The easiest thing to do is invest in one. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
So when he told me that, he was like, then you start a business, then you invest in real estate. So I started doing the same thing. All right, cool. Let me, you know, after I came home from the pen, I started getting into stocks using trap money. You know what I'm saying? Caught another charge because at the end of the day, you got an idea how you're going to make money. Like, I had this idea, like, all right, I'm going to use this market, I'm going to do this, but you still got to get bread. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still got to get cash to put in that shit. So, and then, so people always tell you, like, get a job and all that, and that's cool, but it's hard to tell somebody who's been hustling to go get a job. Just like it's hard to tell an entrepreneur to go get a job. Like, I'm going to do everything I can not to do it, but nothing against working because you need people working jobs.
But I just want to work for myself.
But I just want to handle my own because hustling teach me how to hold my own and bet on myself. So my dude got kicked in, and I just saw myself in the same situation. Like, damn, like, I'm backing this shit again. And one of the things that really caught me was when the people came kick my door in, I had the stock market on TV. And the cop really tells me, you got to be a stupid MF to be watching this and doing this. Mm. Like, that shit hit me in my heart. Like, I felt like an asshole.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, damn. Because I'm watching the money play, but I ain't, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just came to a point where, like, all right, let me try something different. You know what I'm saying? So I started using some money I had from just hitting licks and shit. Like, all right, let me start investing this shit in the stock market. Let me start using it. I started doing iron work, which I built the Falcon Stadium. I built some of the Cowboy Stadium, built power plants and shit. I was making some good money, like $2,000-$3,000 a week. I was like, all right, let me use this shit to invest in the stock market. Then I was teaching my homies in the street, you know, just basic shit like, yo, we wear Nikes, we wear Timberlands, we wear Fendis and shit, like all that shit on the stock market, you know. And my partner and them like, that ain't no shit we never heard before. So he's like, what? Man, you tripping. So then I was saying, all right, well, check this out. If you go do a bid, you got to come home, you got to ask somebody to put you on, or somebody got to give you something. What if you put your money in the market and then you came home and now you got money? Like, that was a bell ringer for me, because when I called my charge, they froze everything but the money I had in the stock market. They stopped everything but that. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. Like, they don't even play me to be that smart. They don't even play me for that. You know what I'm saying? So then I was telling my homies, like, all right, well, what if you get smashed? You know, this could happen. What you leaving your kids behind? Like, nah, another trap are going to take care of your kid. You know what I'm saying? At least leave them some bread. Like, don't just let this shit be for nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not never telling you to get out the street, but learn to leverage them. You know what I'm saying? Like, have an escape plan, my nigga. Don't, everybody ain't gonna be the plug. You know what I'm saying? Everybody gonna be the connect. Like, so how do we get out this shit, right?
Right.
So that's how all this shit started, man. Like, and I just kept learning because the shit remind me of the street so much. Even if you look at America, America is just one gangster. Canada is one gangster. China is a gangster. It's different hoods. It's different people trying to take this bitch over. The same thing in the street. I'm trying to go to your hood and do this. If Bank got a hood, I'm trying to come off a little bit up. If I ain't strong enough, I got to pay Bank draft. That's the same thing happening in America. You want to sell some shit over here? You got to pay me a tariff. That's draft. You know what I'm saying? You paying a hustle over here. Right? So when I started saying that, man, this shit just like the streets. It ain't no different. Only thing, they get to really sit back and build wealth and, like, not go to prison.
Right.
Not get killed. I'm like, nah, we got to play this game. And then it started, I started understanding, oh, we playing the wrong game. Like, instead of us being the pawns on the table, let's go be the rook, the knight, the king, the bishop. Like, let's move this shit the way we can move it. Let us, me as a man, start saying, I could be a father, I could be a grandfather, I could live to see 40. Like, I ain't got to go, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how this shit got into, that was me before the Wall Street trap.
So for somebody, for a black person that's just, don't know shit about stocks, don't care about it, not interested, whatever the case may be. I mean, what would you, like, how do we even spark the interest for those people other than the fact that you can make money? Because you can also lose money too, right?
Yeah. So I think one thing is they need to be interested. Like, streets is a dying game, man.
Like, yeah, not dying, it should dead.
Yeah, it should, you know, it's like, you ain't, that shit ain't it, yo. You know what I'm saying? Then we, you know, even though the dudes who taught us the game, that's what they knew, right? So it was a lack of knowledge starting from the head. There's no excuse not for somebody not to say, I want to learn how to invest, I want to learn how to build. There's no reason for that shit not, right? So now I think the first thing you do is, for me, is like educate. Like, education is the leverage to life, yo.
Facts.
If we look at even from the lowest point, if you go work a job, the person who knows the least get paid the less, right? So if you work at McDonald's, the janitor don't know that much. So he gonna get paid the less. But the person who work on the fries and the burgers, they gonna get paid more than the janitor. But the shift manager know more than both of them. So the shift manager gonna get paid more. But the person who run the store gonna get paid more than them. But the owner of the business. So the knowledge is the leverage to life. Real talk, right? So we gotta get comfortable with saying, I don't know some shit, I gotta learn some shit. We gotta stop using that shit as an excuse. We only three generations from not being able to learn how to read. Like, we three generations from that shit. Like, we ain't that far from, like, yo, you know how to read? Nah, you gotta go. Like, knocking you off. Right? That shit was three generations. That shit is not long. You feel what I'm saying? So, you feel me? Like, we three generations from that shit. Right. So I think the first thing we need to do, man, is understand the importance of this game. Right? Like, understand that. And then say, okay, like, how do I get in it? Right. It's either something simple as like investing, like I said, like investing in shit, you know, just to get started. Right. Like, you don't got to, your first investment ain't got to be the one that make you a millionaire. It ain't going to happen. But what happens is we build the repetition. We make that shit a habit. Like, for me, like when I was hustling, like even before I even got my re-up, yo, like I was like, all right, let me invest this money right here. real talk, right? At base, like, let me make some shit work for me, right? And so we start learning that, like, just to shit you every day. So if you wear Louis Vuitton, if you like Fendi, if you like Dior, that shit on stock market, LVMH, right? Louis Vuitton will wear Hennessy. Dude, the second richest man in the world.
What's the guarantee way, though? Like, so the nigga just starting out.
So that's it. So the best way is to invest in what's called, like, ETFs. Index fund. So an ETF is like an exchange traded fund. So it's like saying, this is the easiest way I can say it. So let's say you go to the store and you say, like, you want to get some cereal, right? Or you want to get some potato chips. But you know on the potato chip aisle, they got all the potato chips. They also got crackers. They got pistachios. They got all like shit like that, snacks and shit, right? Well, an ETF is you saying, I don't know which one of them I want to get, so I'm going to buy the whole aisle. Right, so ETF is a collection of stocks that's made the same way. So if you like technology, or if you like banks, right, you can buy an ETF called XLF. Mm-hmm. Right, what that is, you have all the banks, Chase, a Bank of America, you know, all the big banks. Right, if you like technology, you can buy an ETF that have Apple, Microsoft, you know, all those big businesses. So now that's safe for you, right? And you're now investing in one industry that you like. So that shit gonna make money regardless. That shit gonna make 8-10% a year. That's better than making 0.01% sitting in the bank. You gotta be cool with like starting off at the beginner level. Like we gotta be okay with saying, this shit not gonna make me a lot of money right now, but if I keep it up, the shit gonna make me a lot of money. Right, so you think, again, hustling, like, you don't start off, the man, you start off, selling 2-for-1. I get a nigga $10, nigga give me $2, I sell a $2. I get $2, get a nigga, I will get 4, 2-for-1. Like, I started off like that. Then I work my way up. Nah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I started. Like,
everything a grind.
Everything got to be a grind. Like, we want to change our mind, be like, nope, I want to invest $100, I want that shit to be $1 million. Bro, that ain't how this shit work, fam. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's good, though, to start that way, bank, but then you start, okay, this shit cool. Now let me go to another level. Okay, now let me learn how to trade, right? Like, there's levels to it, but this shit can change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, like, this, when I say, like, recession-proof, for real, like, the stock market is that. And here's why. You can make money as the market going up. You can make market when the market going down. You can make market when the market sideways, right? When it's just moving in the same pattern. But you gotta learn this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You gotta know what you're doing.
Niggas don't want, like, we gotta be cool with, just like we learn everything else, bro. Just like we learn the messed up shit that we do, we gotta learn some shit that's gonna change our life, man.
Is Trappers Anonymous, so is that like a school or a crew that you put together for that? For people to learn?
Yeah. So, Trappers Anonymous is a community that I came up with. Again, I keep this shit, like, the way that I understand it. Like, I don't try to teach it in the way that nobody else teach it. So, Trappers Anonymous was me saying, when I started it, I ain't had nobody to go to. The dope part about it, it may sound crazy, but I was in prison. So I would get off work and I would just read my ass off. Right? But I ain't had nobody to ask questions to.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the best way for us to learn is in a group setting. That's the easiest way for us to learn. So if you put all of us in the room and I got some information, I teach bank, I break it down to bank. Bring her break it down to the queen. She gonna break it down to you. Now we can break it down to Jay. Now we can just toss ideas around, and everybody's learning curve gonna help everybody build instead of bank. Like, man, I don't get this shit. The minute you get confused or some shit, you gonna throw that shit away. That shit gonna become a cup holder. You gonna sit a cup on that shit. You ain't gonna do it. But if I got somebody pushing me, if somebody like, man, bank, man, get this shit. This shit was going, Jay, get this.
Yeah.
I learned that from this shit. I just made $100. What? How you made $100? Show me that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the group setting is always the great thing. So that's why I created that, because it was just me. So now we got 3,000 people in there making money every day. You know what I'm saying? Teaching each other. We do a class every Sunday. Like, people that don't know shit, now 4-3 months later, breaking down business from A to Z like they've been in a finance class. You know what I'm saying? I got financial teachers in there like, bro, I went to school for 4 years and I ain't learned that shit like that. How you broke that shit down in 30 minutes? Right?
Yeah.
So,
why you think our people shy away from shit like that?
Well, because damn, for one, they kept us in survival mode, right? So think about this. If I show you, so easy thing, a lion will never tell a zebra how to get away.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Real shit, though. That real shit.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Lion ain't gonna never tell a zebra. I tell you how you get away, how I'm gonna eat.
Right.
Right? And then the zebra gonna go tell the giraffe gonna go tell the gazelle, gazelle gonna tell the water buffalo. Mm. Now I can't eat shit.
Right.
I gotta be a vegetarian. Right. I'm not just a vegetarian. Mm. You feel what I'm saying? So, no, I'm gonna teach my people how to stay lions.
You can be a vegetarian. You feel what I mean?
So I'm gonna teach my people how to keep eating. Right? And I'm gonna always eat off them. Yeah. It's financial predator and financial prey. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, like, the game is ruthless. Mm-hmm. Right? It's all about self-preservation.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death.
Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I like that quote you be putting up, Wall Street look like us now.
Hell yeah, man. Like, and that's important too, because we gotta, again, like, why do they keep us away from this? It's because they don't want us to know that, like, we can be like millionaires.
Know what I'm saying? Why you think that we shy away from
it? Oh, because, so one of the things is, one, because it's never taught to us.
You think
so,
we scared of the catch?
Well, we scared. So what happens is, check this out. We've been taught the only way to make money is to work for it. So anything that can make me lose this hard-earned money, I don't want no parts of it.
Yeah, fact. Yeah,
like a scam. That's backwards, because we still...
I don't want no parts of that shit.
Still, if you're in the streets, you got to invest. So you can lose there, too.
So like, that was the easy thing for me.
Yeah. Investing in something you know about.
But you... That
you're
is.
Right, you're right.
That is.
It's comfort zone, too, though.
It's comfort zone. So now, here's the thing. Like, if I've been brought up learning about the streets, then that's second nature to me and everything that come with it. If I've been brought up learning to go get a job, then I accept that. What the wealthy people do is at an early age, they teach their people about investing.
Mm-hmm.
So now they grew up learning about finances. They grew up, oh, okay, this is part of the game. Like, all right, cool. So this is how so if this go wrong, this is how I hedge that bet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, okay, cool. Like, let me limit the losses because I see the upside is big.
Right.
Right. So it's even like with us. Like, we already, like, if shit get, it's a drought, what you gonna do, man? Stretch that shit, man. We ain't about to take that whole little L. Man, go in that other neighborhood and sell that shit, man. Don't sell that shit over here. Right. So we learn how to protect ourselves and survive. Same thing happening. We know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But because now you come saying, yo, get in the stock market. And then on TV, all you see is stock market crash. You know, they talking bad shit. You think you need a lot of money because you see, oh, this person made $1 million. So now you be like, man, I ain't about to play that shit, man. That ain't for me. You feel like it ain't for you.
Uh-huh.
So you feel like ain't something ain't for you and ain't nobody speaking it to you and representation. You don't got nobody that look like you doing shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Or you see the old white men doing that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Forever. That's all you saw. So you already got a disconnect. We already feel like all my trauma come from white people anyway.
Mm.
That's how you feel. So you don't want to rock with that at all, right? And so here you come, like me, I'm like, yo, I got a t-shirt on, I wear the same shit you on, I've been through the same shit you've been through, fam, let's go get some money.
Mm. What about the niggas? Niggas be scared because niggas be scamming niggas.
Now, that's true.
Yeah.
So,
I got scammed early on. I got scammed on some stock shit early.
So, and that's one of the things I don't, like, that shit is out here,
mm-hmm.
right? Sure. That shit gonna always, but here, you know why that shit gonna always be out here? Because we always gonna get rich fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a scammer gonna always have a job, fam.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing people won't do is get rich fast, or not even that, they won't get out of this situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right, this shit painful. So when people be saying I'm gonna act like I'm broke, no, the hell I ain't. I've been broke for real. That shit does not feel good. You know what I'm saying? I'm not about to act broke at all. You feel what I'm saying? So what happens is somebody in a bad situation, if somebody can convince you long enough and catch you at the right time, you gonna fuck with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody be like, yo, man, I turned this $500 or $5,000. At first, you might be like, man, nigga, boy, he full of shit. That shit don't work. But you keep seeing that shit. And they catch you on the right day. Man, let me try that shit out, man.
You feel like it's the best decision you ever made?
To learn how to invest?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, it changed my life. Not only changed my life, changed my family life. Mm. Like my daughter right now, she's 6 years old, man. She, like, she got six figures invested. She's going to be a millionaire before she's 10. That's easy. That's easy. You know what I'm saying? And that's just off the market doing whatever it do. Right? And so that's why this shit is important, because now we can start saying, like, how many times have we said, man, I wish I would have knew that shit when I was younger?
Every day.
You feel me? So now what happens is when you get in a situation where you older, you don't want your kids and your nieces and nephews to be saying the same shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so teach them the shit. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's like, all right, my daughter came out the womb, like, bet. She ain't about to, man, look, let's start doing that shit early. Right? Let's do that shit now. And so not just for her birthday, she made six. I'm sitting there, I'm like, what you want for your birthday? She was like, I want 100, I want 16 shares of Roblox. She's six. Mm. I put it on my page. We sitting on the sofa. I'm like, what you want for your birthday? She's like, I want some Roblox, daddy. I said, bet. I pull up the app, went to her account, put 16 in. She was like, no, daddy, I want 100. Bet, get you 100 then. Mm-hmm. Bought 100 shares of Roblox. You know what I'm saying? At 6 years old, because I teach her ABCs in that way. Like, yeah, she gonna go to school and learn that shit. When she come home, it's not on me.
Right.
A is for what? Asset. B is for what? Bank. C is for what? Credit. D is for what? Debt. E is for what? Equity. F is for what? Finances. You know what I'm saying? And so now she like, what's your ABCs is? So now she repeating that shit to me like that. Right? So now I ain't got to worry about the school not teaching her financial literacy.
Right.
I ain't worrying about the school system of America making her the new slave.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We going to set her free early.
What's the new slave?
Consumerism. Consumerism makes us slaves. Right? So every time America creates something, so... It's the America's job to create shit for you to buy.
Yep.
That's the business of America, consumerism. We all buy shit. But there's a stat out that says the average person in America spends $1.25 for every $1 they make.
Well, that's in the red.
Think about that shit.
You're in the red.
You spend $1.25 for every $1 you make. So by the time you made $4, you already... $5 in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. For every $1 you make, you already spend $1.25.
Yeah.
Consumerism.
It's
designed like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then they put you in situations like America. It was like America is smart. Like there is racism is real. But classism is even realer.
Mm. Right.
Right? Racism is real, don't get me wrong, but classism is bigger. Classism is saying, like, this class of people has more say-so and more privilege than another class of people. And so because they keep information from this class of people, they'll never, ever put themselves in the situation of the 1%. Right? So if I can keep you working at a job, and inflation is up. So everything, inflation is up 7%, which means everything costs 7% more. Right? Everything is up 7%.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what didn't go up? How much they pay you on a job.
Yeah.
That shit ain't went up. Right? So the more money they spend, so America is $30 trillion in debt. Right? So you and I know that if I'm in debt, if my bank account in the red, they not letting me spend no money. I got to pay them first. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If your bank account are red, you got to pay them first. Right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Well, America bank account is $30 trillion in the hole. And counting. Just go look at it. USdebtclock.org. Right? USdebtclock.org. Look that shit up right quick. Mm-hmm. You're going to see that. You can look at that shit at 1 o'clock in the morning. That shit going to be still spinning. It's going to be, they print money every day, all day. So the more money that they print, the more your money lose value. So some shit that may cost you $1, matter of fact, $100 in 2019, whatever you spend $100 on in 2019, now it costs you $107.
Mm.
Your dollar lost money. It lost value, lost purchasing power. So you sit money in a bank, here's the trick. If I get you to sit your money in a bank, I'm going to use your money and your money going to lose value. And I'm going to give you pennies on a dollar every year. That's it right there.
Yeah. How do you look at this?
That shit just clicking, turning.
That shit just turned. Look at it. So this is it right here. America is $30,319,000,000,000.
Oh, it's still going.
It don't never stop. This is the debt. This is the U.S. national debt. That's it. So let me show you something right quick, even on here. So even on here, look what it says. It says the U.S. debt is $30 trillion. Then it says debt per citizen. So that's me and you, right? We got income coming in. We already $91,000 in debt. Us. I don't care how much money you make. You $91,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. Then it says...
Or another nigga shit.
No. So, yeah. So,
that's crazy, man.
So, debt per taxpayer. Let me do that. So, we $241,000 in debt. Everybody in here. Because everybody in here working. You pay taxes. So, you $241,000 in debt. The debt per citizen is, if you got a child, a grandmother, somebody that ain't working, they $91,000 in debt. How? So you got, you see it right there. Debt per citizen,
mm-hmm.
debt per taxpayer.
I see it.
You feel me?
That's crazy.
That shit don't never stop. So if you don't find a way to make money without working for it, you're going to die trying to make money. And that shit lose value every day. They not going to never get out of $30 trillion in debt. That shit going to keep adding up.
Hmm. What's some ways you think, like, they make, like, I guess, being a consumer kind of like interesting and fun? So you got commercials, you got this, and spend this, get in debt. So what's some ways that you can make investing or financial literacy, like, fun for, I guess, the young people and shit?
So just even before you even get into, like, the deep shit,
mm-hmm.
like, the shit that you like messing with all day, you know what I'm saying? Like... Everybody, most of our generation got Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should own that shit. Right? So one of the things I did was I made it a priority that when I would go in the hood by my homies, I started changing the conversation. I started making us talk about making money outside of just hustling. So I went to showing them, like, yo, I'm messing with options. I'm day trading. I'm doing, well, not day trading, mm-hmm. but messing with options. I'm showing them I'm getting money from the stock market. Who don't like making money?
Right.
I ain't never met nobody yet and I don't like making money. I don't care what they be talking about, money not important and all that. Man, everybody like making money. Mm-hmm. That should make you feel better. That should make you feel free.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So one of the best ways for me was explaining that you can do it and you can do it. So every time I buy something, before I buy it, I be like, how much of this can I own? Because that's the true way to build wealth, ownership. How much of this shit can I own? Right? And so once I say, man, I own more Nike than you, bruh. Jade, I own more Microsoft than you. I own more Nike, more Louis. You wearing that Louis Vuitton shit? Yeah, you want to borrow that? I like that shit. You just made me some money, family. Good shit right there. I like that shit. You just made me a whole bunch. What you talking about? Y'all own that? I own the Dior you got on. I own the LVMH. Oh, you got Gucci? I own that too. PPRUY, I own that too. Appreciate that. Made me some money, fam. Oh, you got them Dickies on? Bet. You got them Tims on too? Bet. You just made me some money, fam. How? VFC Corporation. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I started, like, changing that to my homies. So, that was something that we started doing just around my way. Just like, yup, you made me some money. I like that. Keep that. You bought a new iPhone? Bet. You just made me some more money. I like that. Mm. So it's, you know, it's just like we make everything dope, man.
Yeah.
We make everything dope, man. And for me, that's what From the Trap to Wall Street was all about. It was about how do I make this shit fun to us to where it's something because everything they do is making boring by design.
Mm-hmm.
Make us feel like we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If I make you feel dumb long enough, eventually you're going to start thinking you're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? If I make you feel inadequate, if I it's long enough, you're going to feel inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so for me, it was like, nope. That's why my mission statement is one shit at a time. Right? So, yep, start with one shit, fam. It's all right. Cool. That way, everybody, no trapper left behind, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
So if everybody look at Wall Street Trapper, they see Wall Street Trapper. You got it together. You're getting money. You're sharp. But what's some of your vices? What's some of the bullshit? You know, you probably got some, I wouldn't say flaws, but
we all imperfections. Got it, man.
Like, show people your human side.
Shit, I show that shit all the time. Shit. One of the things is, I like going to strip clubs, bro.
Okay.
That's my shit, you heard me? I love that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Some of that stock money going back to
I love going to strip clubs, man. Listen,
single moms.
It's the best vibe, man. You know what I'm saying? It's how you support the culture.
Right.
I love going to that shit, man. I go to Flame. You know, I used to go to Follies before they close it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I used to go around.
Would you take some of your Wall Street or stock investment riches and maybe open your own strip club?
No.
You wouldn't do that?
That ain't my business. Yeah.
That ain't your business.
I stick to shit, I'm good.
But Dad, that's how the people, that's how some of the people in the street feel about, the stocks.
Well, so the difference is when you look at, if I had somebody who owned a strip club and could break it down to me and show me the ins and outs, it'd be something I'll get in.
Yeah. I got you.
I'm about mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. One thing I'm about is if you could teach me some shit I don't know, and you willing to mentor, I'll pay for mentorship.
So if you could invest in the flame, you would.
What?
Okay.
Man, gotcha. That's some, I know you, we know what make money.
Mm-hmm.
We know what make money in the world.
Yeah.
Like, we make shit hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, even with, when you look at Wall Street, they got to get the numbers. So I tell people this all the time. Like, we know more about economics than we think we know. So check this out. When J's come out, you already know what them lines gonna look like at them stores. You already know what's gonna sell out online.
Mm-hmm.
You know that already. That's economics. If you in the hood, you know what it used to be like. You know on the first and the third, checks coming out. You know who you can give credit to before that and who you can't give credit to. You know that already.
Yeah.
Economics. Mm-hmm. You know when an Apple phone come out, if you in the store, you know the line gonna be around the corner. You know you gotta try to get it online. You know some people gonna get them and resell them. That's economics at its finest. You know if a product hot, you know you gotta go get it first. Mm-hmm. That's economics. Like at the lowest level, we know more about economics and making money than we think we know. We know about hot products. We the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
We tell Wall Street what's hot. They don't know they got an idea. We on the ground level. We know what's hot. Why you think McDonald's, not McDonald's, so when them chicken sandwiches was popping, right, you could have bought a company called Restaurant Brands. Like, we made the chicken sandwich pop. We did that shit. They ain't know that. They got the numbers later. We was going to every Popeye like, damn, that bitch long, that line long. That's how the stock went up. That's how Restaurant Brands stock went up. We tell them what's popping.
Mm.
Right? So for me, if I get, I don't mind, I just bought a farm. I don't know shit about no farm. I got to get a mentor.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I got to pay somebody to fucking come show me how to put that shit together. But I
built it. What y'all about to put on the farm though?
So I just helped Ross get a bull. So that was me. So I'm about relationships. Like I'm about building a relationship together. That's another thing we got to learn how to do. Like build relationships, right? So a woman I know who's heavy into real estate, I met her husband at a party she was having. Me and him linked up. He saw me that I'd be rocking with Ross. So Ross went on his page and said he wanted a bull. The dude family got bulls. They got 9,000 acres of land. So he hit me up. He was like, Trap, I know you know Ross. You know my family won't give him a bull. I'm like, bet, let's make it happen. I called Ross and his people. Like, yo, man, I know some people won't get you a bull. What's up?
He was like, you say a bull, you mean like an actual...
Like a bull, a big-ass bull. That shit went viral when he got that shit. Yeah?
Okay, a bull.
Yeah, a bull. Like an Angus, black Angus.
Like a man cow.
So what do you do with a bull?
I don't know what he about to do with it.
Right.
But for me, it was like, bet, let me make this plug. So now I got to connect on some bulls. So for what I want to do with my farm is I want to do goats, cows, chickens, and fresh vegetation. And what that does is... So America is built for the entrepreneur and the investor. So one of the things we got to learn is like how America operates. We got to learn the business of America, right? Truly learn the business of America. So America, if you're an entrepreneur, investor, America is designed to help you win. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a farm, farmers get some of the best tax breaks to anybody. You get a farm, you don't got to down there pay nothing. That shit offset all your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You get a farm, you down there can offset all your taxes. You get a farm, you put one bull on it. The dude told Ross, yo, just by you having this bull on this land, you could down there offset 40% of your tax. Just by having this bull on the land.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? So I won't put, so we got 40 acres of land. And so me and my homie, we got 40 acres of land. So the goal is to do goats, cows, and chickens and start our own meat supply. Asset Island is the name of the farm. And so we're going to do Asset Island Farm. So we're going to breed cows, breed them, create our own brand, breed chickens, and breed goats, man, and start our own meat. And then also use that to offset taxes and then do retreats and shit on the farm so that that should become another cash producing asset. You know what I'm saying? It's about having more assets than liabilities, man. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's the game I'm playing, and that's the game I want everybody to start playing. Mm-hmm. If you can go buy a patch of land, go buy that shit because they ain't building no more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. You and your homies, y'all get together. We buy sections in the club. We do all that shit. Let's get together. Let's go buy some land. Right? Let's get together. Let's go buy some real estate. Like right now, I'm looking at a 4-unit apartment complex. Right? Like I don't want to have cash on me. Like I won't get rid. I won't put that shit in assets. Right, because that's how you make your money make money. We won't look at the shit in the bank because it look good, but that shit losing value, man. And that ain't even there. Mm-hmm. That money ain't there. If something happened right now, you can't go get $100,000 out the bank.
Fact.
Mm.
You can't go get that shit. They're going to tell you, first they're going to ask you 50 million questions. Then they're going to put the feds on you. Then they're going to ask you what you need it for. Then they're going to say, give us a week to get it to you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't got that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is empty. That shit just look good on paper. Right? The most we could probably get out of the bank at one time is probably about $20,000.
Mm.
It's probably the most you could get at one, like at one time. Right?
Some right people, then, you saying?
Yeah, like right then and there. Like in the moment, like, yo, I need 20 grand. That's probably like the most you can get, depending, you know what I'm saying? Like, you trying to go get 50, 60, $100,000 out of the bank, man, you got to wait a couple days, man. And you got to go through interrogation to get it. They can, you can wire some shit.
Your money.
Yeah, your money.
Shit. Supposed to be your money, right?
Shit, it ain't there. Because right. The minute you get it, what they do is, I mean, people know it, though. So when you put your signature on a open a bank account, you're literally giving them permission to use 90% of your money.
Right.
You're giving them permission to do that. Mm. It's called fractional reserve banking. So if you got $10,000 in the bank, you're giving them permission to take out $9,000 and give you $1,000. Now, when you put your card in there, the balance is going to say you got $10,000 in there, but you only got $1,000 in there. They done took the $9,000 and gave it to the bank because he needed a loan. Mm. So they're going to make money off bank. Then they're going to give you like 50 cents. For losing your $9,000, give you 50 cents at the end of the year for that, and they're gonna charge bank whatever his credit score is on the interest on that. Mm-hmm. So again, we learn how the business of America work, then it's easy for us to build up.
Mm-hmm.
But they're gonna keep pushing a certain narrative, whether it's in music, whether they use, and that's our shit. Like, we love music, we love that shit. But that we gotta start learning how to deviate between some of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love that shit. I listen to music all day, every day.
Who's some of the rappers or people in music you think that's kind of kicking that shit where they teaching people how to, you know, flip their money? Outside of Ross, of course.
Nah. So I just was at my home and shit. D1, he doing it. Money Man, he doing it.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Those two I know off the top of my head. Like D1 and Money Man, they really like kicking it hard. I want to hear more people doing it, man, because music has always been the gateway to our culture.
Mm-hmm.
They always been the gatekeepers. You know what I'm saying? Like, we learn a lot of shit through music. We learn life through music. And music can teach us how to build wealth, right? I got a lot of rappers right now, artists, be hitting me up like, Trap, man, show me this shit. Show me the ad lease and everything. And I don't mind showing that shit because they the gatekeepers. Like, they platforms be huge. Even though my shit growing, they platforms be huge. So if we make them financially literate, they can reach a ton of people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They can reach a ton of people. They're going to reach way more than me. You know what I'm saying? So we can, I remember I went to this Moneybagg Yo thing. It was out here in that dome. And I was looking, like, me and my homie was standing up. You know, we had a section right next to him. And I saw, like, how the whole dome rushed to the front when they saw Moneybagg Yo. And I told my partner, I said, we not finished until we can have this effect on the culture. Like, we not finished.
Yeah, that's real shit.
We not finished. Like, we got so much work to do because we got to do it with integrity, though. You know what I'm saying? We got to teach our people the right way. But we not finished until we can do that. Because even though rap is our culture, rap ain't teaching us how to make money yet.
Mm.
Right? They ain't teaching us how to make money yet. If we can start influencing the artists to teach us how to make money.
Right.
It's a game changer for I'm gonna be real. Like, if we can get artists to start teaching how to make money, that'll be more impactful than Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Nelson Mandela, everything. Cause mm-hmm. now you have, those are the heroes, yo. Like, I just saw Lil Baby with the dude Rod 4-9 from New Orleans yesterday.
Yeah.
My whole city was out there.
Mm-hmm.
My whole city was out there in the trenches to see that. That's amazing to see.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing to see, especially mm-hmm. in my city, bro. Like, that shit is amazing to see. So I love music. It's always going to be a heavy part of our culture. So if we can just get, you know, not every song, but if we can get one or two songs, throw a verse in a couple, where you talking about financial literacy, man, we can get back to where we belong at in this world, man. We get back there, man.
Think that's the first step.
Hell yeah. Because that's what we love. Like, when you get somebody like me, I come on big fast. Like, everybody respect everybody on here. Let me say this too, Bank. I ain't meet you personally. This was like 2014, 15. I first started coming to the A when I came home. And I used to hear your name a lot. This one's like duct tape. Was like, your shit was hard. And I went on your page one day, bro. You was sitting on the floor in a bathroom. He had a fucking wall full of money. And you said, niggas better stop playing with me and go get you some fucking money. That's some real nigga
shit. That was your first post, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't even on Instagram. That was on JP.
I remember seeing that shit. That was the first time.
I was like, that's some gangster shit right there.
Yeah.
So music has always been the storyteller for our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's because we feel like that person is speaking my story. Right? We feel like that person is speaking to me what I've been through. So everybody gonna relate to an artist differently.
Right.
Right? Because every artist speaking to a different tribe of people. And so for me, I'm not rapping. But I'm just on that bitch spitting facts, and I'm making people relate to me based on what I've been through. So I tell my story a lot. So when you see me, like, yup, trap, been through that shit, I'll post me being in a pen. I'll post my old pictures. I'll post my rap sheet so you can see the authenticity in me. But at the end of the day, a rapper gonna have, an artist gonna have that influence. Always. It's just the way our culture is designed, and it's the way that the music industry is set up. Yeah. Right? It's the way they set up. So if we can just say, as influencers, no matter what you teach, when you teaching real estate, stocks, credit, trucking, whatever you teaching, if you can plug in with an artist, right, and make them aware of what you're doing and show them. Like, this is what I think all artists should do. Every artist always runs with, like, they squad. You should take one person on your squad and designate them to learn some financial literacy shit. Everybody, you running with 20 dudes, 30 dudes, one nigga gotta be, yo, go take this course, learn that shit. I'm about to give you 100K. Go learn. That's how you contribute to the team. That's how you contribute to the team. It ain't gonna hurt. You bought him a chain, you bought him a car. Cool. Go get him 50K, tell him learn that shit, pay for him a mentorship, pay him a course, let him learn some shit. Because when rap over, what you gonna do? He done learned the game. Like, if one person in the squad learn that shit and dedicate to that shit, we can change the game. You start putting that shit in music, now, you know, we can catch on to that. You start telling street niggas, yo, instead of take the brick, you know, take the pill, take the scan, whatever you're doing, look, take a portion of that shit, put that shit in the stock market, buy some real estate. Fix your credit. Learn how to leverage that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many people you gon'. That's why Nip was so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He started teaching us that shit. Like, damn, okay, bet. You know what I'm saying? That was powerful.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib,
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative NBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who your favorite artist though?
Right now?
Yeah.
Man, so I was like a steel nip, but I like Ross. I like Gotti. You know what I'm saying? I like Gucci. I ain't gonna lie. I like WAP, yeah, because he just stay authentic to himself. But I like Gotti. Mm-hmm. Hard. Listen, I've been listening. I like Gates because he on some spiritual things. So I don't know if I have a favorite artist, but everybody talks to me in a different language. Like, mm-hmm. I like Gates because I know where he come from, but I like the spirituality shift he making. Mm-hmm. Right? I like Gotti because I know where he come from, but I also saw him transition into a boss. Right. You know what I'm saying? I love Jake because he speaks to me on, okay, this is how you go from being a street dude to being a billionaire. Right? He laced us with that. I like Ross because I see him every day putting in the work. You know, he talks a lot about brand partnership, how to get with a business. He showed me how he put posts up for Ciroc for 18 months and Puff ain't paying him nothing. And then the 19 month, Puff cut him a 7-figure check. That's branding at its best. That's building a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do this for you for nothing. And then when you look like, damn, like, homie been putting that shit up for 18 months for nothing. Yo, here go a 7-figure check. Now you can do it for something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't just I have one artist, but I like what everybody brings to the table because they relate to me in a different way. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I look at music like that, man.
What you think about jewelry and watches and cars, man, and houses?
Man,
that's how
shit, man. If you go back to where we come from,
yeah,
like, we've been some fly ass motherfuckers, man.
Right.
Pharaoh's been fly.
So is there, do you have a rule of thumb as to when you should buy that shit?
So I just, like, I'm not, like, I own one chain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not heavy on it, but I'm heavy on assets. But everybody different. But I do think you should have more. Whenever you buy jewelry, it should be an asset. So this Rolex, this, I bought it for a certain price. I've had it for a year. It's $20,000 more now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the price of Rolexes have gone up in the last year, like skyrocketing.
And that's why. So if you buying a watch, like a Rolex.
Are those Rolex diamonds?
Oh, yeah. I would never bust a dime.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I keep it fat because that adds to the value.
To the value, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I think we should just, if you're going to buy jewelry, learn about it. Like, mm-hmm. learn what type of diamond you buying. Are you buying an SI diamond? Are you buying a VVS diamond? Are you mm-hmm. buying a flawless diamond? Mm-hmm. Like, know what you buying so now you can learn how it's appreciating. Right? If you buying a Rolex, understand, like, is it, like, how long did it take them to make that Rolex? What edition is that? So you can mm-hmm. now understand how it's going to appreciate in value. Jewelry is always an asset, right? But you don't want to have $1 million in jewelry and then you don't got $1 million somewhere else. Yeah. That's my thing. Like, we can do everything in Batman. We fly, man. We are the culture, man. Mm-hmm. We make this shit what it is, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The jewelry people can't make no money. We ain't busting this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they ain't, we make them motherfuckers rich. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think we should just understand that. Like, if you a rapper, like, you just got a sinus check. You got a sinus bonus. Your shit $1 million. Bro, don't go spend $500,000 in jewelry. Like, don't go do that yet. Wait till you get you a couple of M's. Then do that shit. It's love then.
Now, you know, I had a talk with some rappers before that say that is their investment, though. Like, if they can have that car before the biggest nigga in the game, they're a young nigga, that's the investment in them. They
that's
can
like
charge
a rap nigga starter kit.
That's sure. what I'm saying. They feel like they can charge more for a show.
Well, of course, with rap.
Or a feature.
Rap is also about imagery. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's a lot about imagery, man. And I'm not an artist, right? So I'm on the outside looking in. But it's always about imagery. You got to look a certain way. Right, but I also think certain you can still be big. Like, look at dudes like Kendrick Lamar, dudes like J. Cole. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I just saw a post the other day about Jay, and Bun B said, he said, man, the richer Jay get, the less shit he wear. Right, and it ain't that he don't wear, he still got expensive shit.
Bank sent me that.
He said, yeah, it's just that the shit he wear, you don't know what it is, but it costs. You know what I'm saying? So I remember he had his ball like, you got the bright watch, I got the right watch. Hmm. Right? So it's we just learn how to do it. Like, I don't have nothing against them wearing a jewelry. I understand the look. Mm-hmm. But I want you to have more money working for you than money that's on you. You can't have more money in your closet and on you than you got invested for you. That's my whole theory. Right? More assets than liabilities. Even though the jewelry is an asset, if you got the right jewelry on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you got the right shit on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, man, you know, again, rap is what makes us. We all love that shit. And so I'll be down bad to be like, rap tripping. No, we just got to learn how to use it for our power. Mm-hmm. And not keep letting them get rich off us.
Yeah.
Selling us the bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
What's three investments you'll put people on for this year, for 2022? They're going to make some bread. They got 5 bands right now.
Yeah.
They're finna open up a little stock account or do it on their Cash App or whatever.
Yep. So first we want to get them off Cash App. That shit is bullshit.
Cash App.
Yeah, we don't want them on Cash App. So I think a good way for them right now is to wait till Amazon split and Google split. So they about to split.
Now you told me buy it right now when I DM'd you.
Because you got the money for it.
Okay, got you.
You said somebody got $5,000.
Okay, got you.
Shit, it's $2,000 right now.
Got you.
We'll give them the best bang for their bucks, Green. There you
go. All right. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to learn.
We'll give them the best bang for their buck. So I think one of the, they can, because those are businesses that's going to be around. Mm-hmm. Right, and so they about to go from $3,000 to maybe $150, $175, right, $145, depending on the price when it's split. So I think that'll be 2 good investments on that happens in May and June. I think another good investment right now would be in financial technology, because what that is, it's called fintech. It's the way we use money now is changing. So your PayPal, your Squares, even though they're getting beat up right now, mm-hmm. we cannot deny that the way we're using money is different. Look at the first thing you said, mm-hmm. PayPal. I mean, mm-hmm. you said go get Cash App, mm-hmm. right? So the way we're using money is different, right? And so as long as we see that, that's cool. Electronic vehicles, right? That's a thing. Like, investing in the future is the thing. That's how you're going to make the most money. So when you buy a stock, and this is some game. When you buy stock, don't base it on what it's doing right now. Base on what you see it's doing moving in the future. Mm-hmm. Like, base it on how you see the people building that shit out. You know what I'm saying? So if you notice, like, again, financial technology is the thing, but also chips. So if everything is going to be with technology, you know, all technology need a chip.
Yeah.
Shit can't operate without a chip. So a good investment would be investing in SMH, which is a ETF, what I told you about. You'll have all the chip companies, or invest in the chip company, right? You see metaverse is the shit. Look at some companies that's going to be like making way in the metaverse, right? That shit going to be here in 5 years, 10 years. Like, so look, you're going to make money along the way, but the best way to become a millionaire through the stock market is investing in the future. It's always happening. And the best time to invest in the future is when the market going through something. So right now, the economy is going through some shit, right? But every time the economy crashes, the next year, you get a whole bunch of billionaires and billionaires come out of nowhere. Wow.
Just happened in 2020 with that COVID, with COVID.
It always happens. So from every recession, people come out millionaires. People add to their wealth by 15%. Mm-hmm. Right? So during the pandemic, the wealthy people got richer by $7 trillion in a two-year time period. While motherfuckers out here chasing stimulus checks and PPP, we scrambling. Mm-hmm. Right? We trying to get on. They sit back like, yup, bet. Right? So during the 2002 financial crash, right? Wealthy people added $50 trillion to their wealth, right? During the real estate boom, the crash in 2008, Great Recession, we was here for that, right? They got wealthier. After every recession, the wealthy people get richer. Why? Because they buy assets on discount. Mm-hmm. The same way we run to the store for Black Friday and go buy shit when it's on sale, that's how they look at the stock market. That's how they look at real estate. Oh, that shit on sale right now? Bet. Go put $10 million in that shit.
Right.
So you might not got $10 million, but you got $5,000 laying around. You got $2,000. You've been trapping. You've been moving. You've been dancing. You've been, man, put that shit in there.
So you feel like stock market over all this shit, over credit, over what else? What else they be doing?
Real estate,
yeah.
Crypto.
Yeah, so I feel because it's the lowest barrier entry. I mean, it's the easiest to get in. So even if you get credit, right? And I love all of them. But when you get credit and you leverage the credit, you got to do something with it.
Right.
For it to make money. You can't just sit on the shit. You got to go leverage it to get into something. Right? So if you go, let's say you go get credit. You learn how to leverage credit. You get some money from some credit. The easiest thing to do is if you had already been learning how to trade stocks, is to take that money, put it in the stock market, learn how to trade that. Now you can pay that shit back easy. Right? If the market going down, bet. Because you learn how to trade, you can trade in a down market. The market going up, bet. You trade in the up market. You pay the credit back, you got free cash. America did all the work for you. My goal is, how do we pimp America? How we pimp them? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I look at that shit, all them business owners, yep, you went to school for that shit, yep, you work for me. Bet, go make me some money. Go make my daughter some money. Go make my homie some money. Go make the queen some money. Go make Scream some money. Right? How we teach everybody how to make money off them instead of we keep being the one they making money off of. Mm-hmm. So I love that but I'm a stock market investor. If you go find somebody in real estate, they going to say real estate. Mm-hmm. Right? But for me, you make money in this shit up or down. And ain't nothing going to beat that. If this bitch crash, we going to make a bottle of money while it crashes. And if it crashes where the money ain't no good, then we all fucked up anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We fucked up anyway. Mm-hmm. Right? And yeah. So, you know, even we fucked up anyway. So, but it's good to diversify your shit. But, man, I'm like 80% of my shit in the stock market, man. I'm sticking with it.
Mm. That's what worked for you.
That's what
worked for me, man.
Mm-hmm. What's some game of motivation you want to give to the people, man? The Wall Street Trappers, man, supporters, the Big Fact supporters.
If you let them feed you, you give them permission to starve you, man.
That's a good one.
You let them feed you.
Straight up.
You wrote that in that Big Fast Bible?
That's what I wrote.
That's what you wrote in there?
You let them feed you, you get them permission to starve you, man. And you don't get nobody permission to starve you. You don't get nobody permission to take food out your family mouth. Mm. And every day you're not building wealth, you giving them the permission to starve you. Every day you're not learning some shit that's going to change your life, you giving them permission to starve you. Every day you get up and you see this ain't the life you want, you giving them permission to starve you because you ain't working toward changing that shit. And that means you accepting that shit. Mm. If you accepting that shit, you can't blame nobody else but yourself. So if you allow them to feed you, giving them permission to starve you, man.
Mm.
Word from the trap here.
Somebody in the trap right now, they want to tap in and learn more, they motivated. How can they do that?
Check my Instagram, man, wall_street_trapper, man. YouTube, Wall Street Trapper. We got
a website?
Yep. TheTrapUniversity.com, man. Everything trapping over here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's what it is, man.
Jay, did you take the course I gave you?
No.
That's cool.
Oh, Jay, come on.
I didn't. I'm not finna lie.
That's cool.
I didn't. I'm so sorry.
That's cool.
I'm glad. Send it to the bank.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Maybe bank will do it. Send it to the bank.
Don't put bank on. I gave it to you, my bank. I gotta get the bank. Bank be chilling. Bank,
you probably
bank.
Did. That nigga be lying, man. No,
right. I gotta get the bank. Don't make a cool
meal. Yeah.
I'm gonna get the bank, man.
www.bigfactspod.com. We appreciate you pulling up. Salute.
You're listening to Big Facts with Big Bank and DJ Scream. Follow Big Facts on social media at Big Facts Pod. Big Bank and and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts.
Hey, man, it's all the way up.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That merch in.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. www.bigfactspod.com.
Yeah, with the real ones one time. Y'all come get y'all some of this merch, man.
Bigfactspod.com. Let's get that merch right now. Shop with us.
It's all the way up. Big Fat merch.
It's going down.
Visit the new website today. www.bigfactspod.com. Visit now.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school. Like, yeah. Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.